today we get to talk about that we're a place that we can bring. We've been studying Acts 2, the very first church, those very first followers of Jesus, not the very first religion, but the very first followers of Jesus. There was a small group devoted to learning and fellowship and worshiping Jesus. They were committed to each other, and they met in homes, they shared meals, and they saw God add to their community daily. Now today, you might have a hard time because we're trying to control the slides and everything at the same time, and so it's been tough. I had to run up here, and Craig's like, "Let's sing Shirley again." I'm like, "Oh crap, I'm not there to press the words." That's because I wasn't there to press Shirley again. And some of you are like, "Shirley? Who's Shirley? Where's Shirley? What's Shirley's going on in here?" And so you were sitting there and you didn't have the words. And so I think we've got, Miss Mandy jumped back there. She's a beautiful wife. And she jumped back there and she's gonna help me control the slides. But in Acts 2, if you don't want to follow along with the slides, we have the Innovation Church app and the sermon notes are all in there. There's even Phil in the blanks for you right in there. But in Acts 2, we see that all the believers devoted themselves. They gathered together, this deep sense of awe, and they met together and shared everything that they had. But it keeps going, and it said they sold their property and possessions. These are people that are getting rid of everything so that they could be a part of the church. I'm glad that you guys didn't have to do that today. But as we gather, this is what we see worked for this church. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper. That's what we just did. Shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the good will of all people. And each day, everybody say, each day. Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Each day, there were people being... Do you think that was by accident? That each day, just extra people showed up? That every single day, there were just, there were two here yesterday, now there's three. Now there's four. Now there's five. Now, what is going on here? There's more people that just keep showing up and keep surrendering their lives to God. You know, in 2017, we sent out a poll to everybody who had ever come to Innovation. And we said, what was the reason that you came? When was the time that you first came, and what was the reason that you came? It was two questions, and then there were options, right? Because we do a lot of different things around here, from red, white, and boom, to crazy Easter services, to crazy egg hunts, to Easter and Christmas Adam services, to light the night, and all types of things. And so people were able to check, you know, I first heard about Innovation, or first attended Innovation this way. And then we said, what made you come here? Or what was the first reason? Some were like, well, I was driving down Concord and I saw a sign. We're like, yeah, it said Innovation Church. It was right there. And you saw it, and that was good. And so others were like, well, I did a Google search for church. Like, we had that happen very first service today. She was like, well, I moved to town and I'm a Purdue student. And so I checked out on Google and I stalked you guys online. And I was like, whoa, stalker. Like, vibes going on there. And she was like, I watched a couple services and you guys seemed normal. And so I figured I'd come and try it out. And I was like, well, that's awesome. That's like mad props to the tech team for being back there and mixing everything and making sure that it gets up online, because there's people that are nervous about walking in the front door. Right now, many times our webpage and our website and Facebook is our front door. And so that wouldn't have happened. And that person would have never felt comfortable coming here if it wasn't for people that volunteer, that step up, that use their ability to click a mouse. Whoa. Or use their ability to say, go live. Use their ability to say, oh, let's go to camera one. Oh, let's go to camera two. Some of you, it's like a video game. You're like, okay, follow Billy? All right, it's like Pac-Man back there. And so it can be kind of fun. But we see people using their gifts and talents. But we see here in Acts 2 that people are being added. And so as we sent out that survey, yeah, there was the sign. Yeah, there was Facebook. Yeah, there was Google. But I can't make this stuff up. We did the percentages on all the numbers, and 67% of the people were because of a personal invite. 67% was a personal invite. Today, I love my church because it's a place to bring those that are hurting, those that need Jesus, And if you've been to Walmart, you've found a few, right? If you've been to the roundabouts in Lafayette, you've found a few. If you've been to Target, or if you've been to IU, if you've been to Subaru, you've found a few people that need Jesus in this place. Actually, 67% don't attend church anywhere. And so we've said we've got to go to those. And so here's six reasons why I think we always need to be inviting somebody to innovation. And it's not my reasons. It is simply reasons from 2 Corinthians. So if you don't like these reasons, blame Paul, because Paul wrote them out. 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 12. We'll have them here on the screen for you, but they're also there in the app so you can follow along and fill in the blanks. The first reason, everybody say the first reason. All right. The first reason we should be bringers is because we want others to experience what we've experienced, right? That's just the fact. Like, when we experience something good, right, Rejoice? You were all ready. Like, she got the email from Starbucks that pumpkin spice was out, and she's like, I gotta share this! Everybody needs to know pumpkin spice is out today! It's not even fall, y'all. Like, come on. It's 90 flipping degrees outside here in Indiana. You guys broke fall because you started drinking pumpkin spice too early. Now we get back to summer. Like, golly. But when something is so good, you got to share it, right? We were driving through Ohio. I texted a buddy. I was like, hey, my wife's with me. Let's get her some ice cream. He's like, oh, I know the place. We go there, and I get this ice cream. And it was in the little baseball helmet hats. You remember those? Those were good. And I got it, and I got this ice cream called the Buckeye. Oh, yeah. It was just ground up Buckeye all inside of it. And it was big old chunks of chocolate and peanut butter. I was like, oh, this is so great. My wife asked me for some. I said, no. Then I shared some. See, the fact is, when there's something that we've experienced, we want others to know about it, right? The new Twisters movie, oh, it is awesome. I mean, I knew what some of those places in Oklahoma growing up there, and so it was great. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote 2 Corinthians, he said it in verse 11. He said, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. We work hard. We work hard to let others know about Jesus being involved in our lives, about what he's doing in our lives, what he's doing in our church, how he is changing us, how he is shaping us, how he is making us, how we're surrendered, how there's a place where we can belong, where we can become, and where we can bless. There's a place like that, and that's like no other place on this earth. There is the church. That's why we need to be bringers of people to the church. And we work hard to persuade others. That's why we do all these big events. That's why we have this good time in our community. That's why we serve others, because we work hard. You know, Jordan over here works hard week after week to provide an environment for your innovation kids, for your nursery kids, for your preschool kids, for teenagers on a Wednesday night, so that they could have a place to belong, to become. Bless. Letting others use their time and talent so that they can be a blessing to others. Working hard, being dedicated to helping others, to serving others. This is what Paul is asking, and because of that, Bree Boss was baptized during the first service this morning. All the students, it was like, I don't know, 20, 25 students all just barreled down from the upstairs from the breakfast club during the first service and got to watch and celebrate the hard work of both Jordan, of Hannah, and Mark, and those that pour their lives into them and give of themselves. People like Brandy Marsh that was willing to go to a summer camp to let them be able to experience God, to get away from the distractions of this world and to focus on God. And today we have to celebrate with her. And today we also get to celebrate with a couple others. Little Boggs girl. That's why some of you are here. Because you're seeing lives change. We get to celebrate that today, but it didn't happen by accident. None of it happens by accident. It's because people are willing to work hard. People are willing to sign up, just like my mom said last week. They're using what they've been blessed with, the gifts that they have.
What gift do you have to have?
Well, some people, it's just a gift to hold a baby. a gift to love on a toddler. And that's working hard. I know some of those toddlers. to invest in some innovation kids, and that's going to take some hard work. But it's worth it to see their lives forever changed, to see them dedicate their lives to say, I'm dead to the things of this world and I'm living my life for Jesus Christ. That's because people were willing to put in the work. People were willing to be a blessing. They shared that part of their lives with others. And so we see that. We wanted others to experience what we've experienced. Second thing, this one's pretty good. The second thing that we have is we need to share the part of our lives that's the most exciting and most eternal. There's some things in our lives that are exciting, right? I announced on Facebook this week, some of you may have saw it. I know Jordan saw it. That I was going to be in a fantasy football league for the very first time. I have no clue what the name of my team is going to be, but Jordan, he knows exactly what the name of his team is going to be, and I'm going to share it with you because he shared it with me. It's going to be the Dak Street Boys. The Dak Street Boys. Are you serious? The Dak Street Boys? Bye, whatever. I don't know. Probably the wrong band, right? Like, whatever it may be. The Dak Street Boys. And within seconds, literal seconds of me posting that, my phone started to explode with somebody that was so excited about fantasy football. Hey, man, you need help with that? Hey, man, I'll set up the league. Hey, man, I've got it ready. Hey, man, I'm starting the league right now. Hey, man, here's the link. I'm like, hold on. I don't even know what you're talking about. What do you mean a league? When is draft day? I'm like, I don't even know what this language you're talking about. He's so excited about fantasy football, ready to set it up. And so if you want to be in the fantasy football league, take out the Connect card. What I know, maybe it's your first time here. There's a free gift for you at Connect Services, or guest services right out in the front. But if you want to join the fantasy football league, we just need your email. And I think we got it set to like 20 people right now. Just write it down. You'll probably beat the living crap out of your pastor because I have no clue what I'm doing in fantasy football. But the fact is, I am not playing fantasy football because I'm like, oh, I need to draft the first person. I need to draft the best person. I need to get the most points. I need to do this. I need to cheer for this person to get hurt, right? Like, I am not doing any of that. This crowd probably going to be way too many Chicago Bears team members on my team for me to actually win. But the fact is, I'm doing it to get to know some other guys, to hang out with some other guys, both inside the church and outside the church. So that they may see Jesus through me. Does that mean I probably shouldn't trash talk? that probably means I shouldn't do some illegal things? There's a lot of things that I shouldn't do in the fantasy football league because I want it to make it eternal. See, we need to share the part of our lives that's most exciting and most eternal. Just a few days from now, almost, like a week and a half, September 5th, you're going to sit back, you're going to pop on TV, some of you, and you're going to see the Chiefs, right? They're out there. They're ready to play. And then they're going to start spanning across the field, right? And you're going to see some guy probably in his second or seventh drink stripped down to his Kansas City Chiefs Speedo and red and white body paint screaming at the top of his lungs, and that's Ray Walker because his wife's a Chiefs fan. People go crazy about this stuff. And I'm excited about football. But that's because I take a really good nap during football. Like I see a little bit of the first quarter, fall asleep, and then wake up for the end of the game. And I'm like, yes, that was a great nap. It drowns out all the noise in our house. But verse 12 says, are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we're giving you a reason to be proud of us. So you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it's for your benefit. As I was writing this message on Monday, some people popped into the office afterwards. I said, I think I found our theme verse as a church. 2 Corinthians, right? You see it right here where it says, if it seems we are crazy, it's all for the glory of God. It's all to let people know about God. The things that we do, the things that we say, the stupid Christians t-shirts that are about to come out, like those things are so that people can begin to see who Jesus really is. If it seems we're crazy, it's all to bring glory to God. So we've ought to bring others to innovation because we want others to experience what we've experienced. The life change. In 2 weeks, we've got Tailgate Sunday. That's a great Sunday to bring somebody to. We've got connect groups that are starting up and you can begin to sign up for them right now. Those are great things to bring people to that, oh, I don't know, that building has a steeple. Am I getting struck by lightning? Okay, well, Ray and Karen's house doesn't have a steeple. They got chickens. Let's go over to their house, right? Or you know, there's Pastor Billy and Mandy and they're doing a group. Why don't we go over there? There's Miss Ruth and she's doing a group. Why don't we sign up for that one? Or Brian Burdens. He doesn't have a steeple up there. He's got a bunch of golf clubs. And let's go out to his house and let's sign up for a group there. There's always a place and a way to be a bringer. We need to share the parts of our lives that are the most eternal, the things that will not fade. Number three, it's impossible to follow Jesus and not care about the people that he cares about. You know, when I was in Dallas, right, there's all kinds of always construction going on in Dallas, always going from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 lanes, all types of things. And so all the time there'd be things on the highway that you'd run over and blow up a tire, blew up plenty of tires down in Dallas. And so I'm driving my Chevy Beretta on my way home to Oklahoma and just going down the road. And all of a sudden, my back right tire, I believe, just I'm like, oh, all right. Pull over, you know, you get out the little scissor jack and you wind it up and you get out the tools and you change everything. Well, I was in a hurry to get home, right? And so I change the tire and I get the tools and I just throw them in the trunk instead of just putting them all away, right, nice and neat where they go. So I just throw them all in the trunk and get going and get back on the road. And less than a mile, would you know, there's another guy in a white Chevy Malibu and he's sitting on the side of the road starting to jack up his car with the scissor lift. And all of a sudden, I hear God's voice saying, why don't you help him? I'm like, well, I'm kind of busy. I'm kind of driving home. But you have all the tools. You have everything that you need. Why don't you just pull over and help? I'm like, God, I'm going home. I'm going to see my mama. I'm going to get some home cooking. I'm going to Oklahoma. I got laundry to do. Like, leave me alone. That doesn't work. If you're having a conversation with God and leave me alone comes out of your like mind or thought process, no, he gets louder. He said, are you going to listen to me? Like, I'm God. You're not. You should help this guy. So after I pass him, I go up to the next exit, turn around, loop around. And by the time I get there, he had just gotten out the spare. I jump out of the car, go right to my trunk, pull out the tools, and he just stands there holding the spare. He's like, can I help you, sir? No ingles. Really? Like, I can't even tell you about Jesus. Like, I got to tell you about Jesus. Like, God, what are you doing? I'm like, okay, yeah, can I help? He's like, yeah, yeah. And so I grab the spare tire, jump down on the ground because I'm already covered in all the dust and everything. I just go ahead and throw it on, 5 minutes down. And I say, God bless you. Jesus, he loves you. I never saw him again in my life. It's impossible to follow Jesus and not care about the people he cares about. He cared about that person on the side of the road. But that's not how it always goes, right? There's been plenty of times where I've continued driving and just prayed for the situation. Where I could have helped, where I could have stepped in, where I could have slowed down, where I could have said, they need help. You know, I could have just pulled up YouVersion on my Bible app and started a devotional about how wrecks happen in our lives. Get all geeked out about the Hebrew and the Greek words. Or the fact is, we could pull our cars over and help. The fact is, we see people that need help each and every day. And it's impossible to follow Jesus and not care about the people he cares about. They come in at a perfect time. You see these awesome kids? Each and every week, they typically have gaps in their schedule of people that are signing up to serve, to work in the nursery, signing up to help out in Innovation Kids. Is it impossible for us to see them and say, you know what, somebody else will do that? I hope it is. I hope it is that we would see that God has blessed us. There are people that come to this church and they're like, wow, there are so many kids. I've never seen so many kids in a church before. Are we going to squander that? Are we going to take the gifts and the talents and the abilities that we have, to whether it to be just a rockabye baby or to check someone in or to sit with a toddler and direct them to Jesus? To not care about the people that he cares about. Many of us learned that Jesus loves the little children of the world. Whether they're red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. But to us, we treat it like they're a bother. To us, we want to push them off and say, somebody else will handle these kids, instead of say, you know what? I'm fighting to get in that room. To have Jordan say, hey, Billy, stop telling people to sign up for Innovation Kids. Stop telling people to sign up for the nursery, because we have too many people that care about the next generation. He's yet to tell me that. And I wish he would. It's impossible to follow Jesus and not care about the people. As you guys can tell, I'm going really slow and I've got a lot of points to get through. All right, number four. We see others as Jesus sees them. That's what we see as Paul continues to talk. He says, so we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view, but how differently we know him now. As a human point of view, you look at your neighbor and you hate that he hasn't mowed his lawn in 5 weeks. You look at the one that has the sign of the political person that you can't stand and you write them off. We have to see others as Jesus sees them. Do we do that? We stop evaluating them as others humans evaluated them. But we see them as Jesus. We had to do this. I had to train our youth leaders when I was a youth pastor to, you know, the girls coming in with the miniskirts that are just advertising and showing off everything that they got in hopes to get out of the situation that they're in. I said, please just sit down with them before you ever talk about their skirt. Can you talk about their home life with them? Can you see why? Can you introduce them to Jesus? Because they could simply just be a lost son or a daughter. What if we see others as Jesus sees them, that means that no one is a lost cause. That means that ex-husband that ain't paying the child support, he's not a lost cause. He is a lost son or daughter of Jesus. That spouse that is getting high, they're not a lost cause. That neighbor, that coworker, that person that you can't stand, that sits to the right of you inside the factory, also needs to sit to the right of you inside the church. This means that anyone who belongs, that's what Paul says here, that anyone who belongs to Christ can become a new person. The old is gone and a new life has begun. The old is gone. It's time for them to take their next step. They just need to take the next step from where they are to where God wants them to be. We have a thing called next steps around here. It's all about knowing God, knowing innovation, knowing yourself. There's like one giant leap that happens tonight where you get all three of those all at once. It's at 6:00. I would love if you would be here. We're going to feed you. We're going to have childcare for your kids, all that fun stuff. But then there's a group after that called knowing freedom. Because sometimes there's things that we need to break free from and to stop falling back into. And then number six says we can't lose focus on God's calling for our church. That's what we see with the Apostle Paul as he says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself. And God has given us this task of reconciling people. This is our task. It's not just to be a spectator of people's lives changing. It's to be a participator and engage. Use whatever we have. John Mitchell is like, I'm an engineer. I'm an army guy. I like to build stuff. I can do whatever you need, Pastor. I said, you know what, John? Some of these spools we would really love to turn into picnic tables for the outside. Sent him a picture. He's like, I'm on it, man. Came out here on Friday, sawing the spool. Some of you were like, my spool is gone. You came in, you're tearing up, and you're like, I gotta sit in the cushioned seat. It's okay, it's all right. But we're putting picnic tables so our community can come out, because on Tuesday night, our food truck is coming out and serving our community, and they need somewhere to sit. And so we're cutting them, turning them into picnic tables. I'm not, because I ain't good with wood. But John is. Some of you need to see John. He's wearing a green shirt. He's over here holding his awesome little baby boy. But using gifts and talents to serve others, to simply say, I want to help others experience this eternal thing. I'm not going to lose focus on that. I'm going to lean in. I'm going to say, where can I help? When can I help? Right? We said to text in last week and we got one text. No, two. We got two texts. We said, text the word bless to 855-398-4752. Text the word bless and find out about the opportunities. Two people was like, yeah, okay. Two people understood that they're blessed to be a blessing. And some of you were like, well, Pastor, I just want to pray about it. I just want to pray about it, and I want to feel where God leads me. Well, that brings me to our number two pencil. Our number two pencil is right here, right? And right, it's beautiful. You got an eraser, you got the metal, you got the wood, and inside you got a little piece of lead, a little piece of pencil lead right in there, right? A little bit of graphite and clay mixed up and called pencil lead, right inside of there. Some of you, you need to feel lead. And this message is here to sharpen you. Just like iron sharpens iron, this is here to sharpen you. Feel that lead right in there, right? You feel it, just touch it. And okay, you felt lead, okay? You've heard the word of God and you feel lead. Some of you, you gotta be broken to feel lead. You say, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. By the way, that's usually not fantasy football. By the way, that's usually not the concert tickets. That's not the bigger, better, faster car. That's not the bigger, better boat. That's not the bigger, better house. That's not what's breaking his heart. What's breaking his heart is 67% of Tippecanoe County doesn't go to church, doesn't know him, isn't walking in communion with him, isn't a part of the body of Christ. And are we going to be a church that brings them into it and says, you belong, you can become, we will bless you, we will serve you, we will show you the love of Jesus both inside these walls and outside these walls. We will rearrange our schedules. We will be devoted, as it says in Acts 2:42. We will sell the things that don't matter in this world, and we will be broken for what breaks God's heart. Well, Pastor, I just don't feel led yet. Sharpen your dang pencil. Be broken for what breaks him. Because today we get to celebrate with two that are going public. And we'll talk about them in a little bit. But we, as we close off today, we sing once again and thank God for the good plans. Because those good plans that he has for you, he also has good plans for your neighbor. He also has good plans for your coworker. He has good plans for that HR person that you really can't stand, that keeps cracking down the rules on you. He has good plans. I'm excited about Ray going back to work because Ray's on fire for Jesus, and he's going to be able to take Jesus into Alcoa, and he's going to be able to bring Jesus to that shop floor. in ways that they don't even know what's about to hit them. Is that the same of you going to work? You get to come, you come in off a Monday and be like, all right, Jesus has energized me. I'm ready to tell you about, well, did you do you need a lighter? Do you need some Starburst? Did you get all the drinks that you need here at Murphy USA? And did you get some Jesus? Right? You need some Jesus right here at Murphy USA. And the line's long because Susie's praying for people and people are falling out and getting healed right there in line, right? That's why I love my church, because we're becoming a church that is grasping a hold of these things and being the church that the world needs to see. We can't lose focus on that. It's our calling as a church. It's the plans that he has for us. Eternity is too long and hell is too hot for us to sit back and do nothing. So we try to make it as easy as possible. We try to have a good time. We try to go all out. Next week, we start a series called You Got Game. You're gonna hear from one of my coaches that has been coaching me how to be a better leader, how to be a better pastor. Because I still have to become. There's still more that I can become, and so I need to submit to others as well. But we start off a series called You Got Game. And I'm hoping to have like 120 feet of AstroTurf right here. You've heard of the red carpet. It's going to be an AstroTurf carpet ready for you, ready for the team to run down and say, all right, coach, what you got for us? All right, coach, how are we going? How are we going to play this game? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? What does God have in store for us? Where is he leading us? And we'll look to the scriptures together and say, God, where's your word leading us? Where is it guiding us? How will it be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? I'm ready to be led by you. Some of you are going to be running down that turf and you'll be like, okay, I'm here to serve, right? You're going to show up to first service. You're going to show up, I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to change some diapers. I'm ready to fall off a stage. I'm ready to play a guitar. I'm ready to play some drums, because other people are going to find Jesus when I use my gifts and talents. They're going to see the love of Jesus through me. I'm ready to be a teammate and not just a person sitting in the stands, spectating, eating the popcorn and saying, oh, that's really good. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's so cute. Oh, good point, Pastor Billy. Oh, that's a good sermon. I don't need that. We need a church, and God doesn't need that. He needs a church that will rise up and be the church the world needs to see. He's got good plans for us. Are we willing to walk out those plans? Are we willing to feel the lead and say, all right, God, whatever opportunity. My opportunity, seventh grade, God calls me into the ministry. The literal words were, help lead my people. I didn't know what that meant. I was sitting right about where Christian's sitting, a few rows back in the service. I was like, God, I surrender my life to you. Whatever you have for me. Everybody else is up front getting prayed for, falling over, everything like that. And I'm just a little Baptist boy saying, I ain't going up there. Whatever's going on up there, I ain't having that. All right, God, you're going to have to meet me right here. And he did. He said, help lead my people. I didn't know what that meant. Ran back to the back of the room. Miss Lindley, I heard God's voice. He said, help lead my people. How do I do that? He said, show up early on Sunday morning. And I poured fishy crackers for all the Sunday school classes into the tiny little Dixie cups. They were excited to have fishy crackers. They were excited to be in the house of the Lord, learning about Jesus, and they were excited to get a snack. That's all it was. Then I turned the fishy crackers into like popsicles. Then they were really excited and sugared up for all those teachers, right? Like, and then I was running sound. Then I was stacking chairs and setting up chairs. Then I was mowing lawns at the church. My mom worked there and somebody needed to mow the grass. Then I was painting walls. And I was hanging lights up on scaffolding at like 10 years old. I'm like hanging and putting, changing light bulbs. Help lead my people. Work hard. Do whatever is needed so that others can find Jesus. We're blessed to be a blessing. And when we bring others, they'll be blessed in and through us. Will we do that? That's up to us. He has good plans for us.